This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
Earlier, we were talking about Jack Del Rio's $100,000 fine that was handed down by his head coach, Ron Rivera. And then I offered that, I don't know, what does Del Rio earn as the defensive coordinator? I just speculated. It can't be more than $1.5 million.
I think I might know.
Oh, okay.
$3.5 million.
Wait. Jack Del Rio's making $3.5 million as the defensive coordinator?
Maybe. Let me see if I can confirm this.
Boy, the Commandos are a dumb organization. Anyway, I don't know. Maybe he's worth it. So even at $1.5 million, I said, $100,000 fine? What is that, 15%? Like, no, Adam. It's actually about 7%.
Yeah, well.
As Steve points out, math is hard. Yes. And then Tyler points out that Costa Rica v. New Zealand is in Qatar. It's actually not in Costa Rica.
Oh.
So I would like to know what the weather report's going to be for Qatar today.
Hot.
Yeah. There's the reason why the World Cup is in November and December in Qatar and not in June and July. Gosh, how hot is it going to be?
Gross.
Yeah, so I'll have to do the research there. All right, with that said, we won't have to hear the John Rahm clip in Wall of Sound, but I thought Rahm was being as respectful as possible, was also very much adamant that the PGA Tour is the place to be. Rory McIlroy has been that way. Justin Thomas has been that way. We will get to those eventually in the Wall of Sound, but first, we got to hear from the NBA particulars. Let's get to it.
The Wall of Sound is a function of this studio. There's no doubt about it.
All right, so it wasn't a big Steph Curry game. Curry had just 16 points. He was 0-for-9 from three-point range, made a bunch of additional poor decisions, yet the Warriors won. After what Steph did in Game 4, I think his team kind of owed him one. Here's Steph on getting the help.
The fact that, you know, everybody stepped up, Wiggs, JP, you know, Clay hit some big shots, Draymond found his life and his spirit and the way he impacts the game. We could withstand going 9-for-40 as a team and me 0-for-9 and still come away with the win. So obviously, track record says, you know, we'll shoot the ball better next game, and looking forward to that bounce back.
Yeah, I mean, he bounces back, but that doesn't mean the Warriors are going to win. Because if you're the Boston Celtics had a game plan, and they executed that game plan, and that was to eliminate Steph Curry. Let the other guys beat you. They did. Narrator voice. They did. All right, Steve Kerr is this close to his fourth championship as a head coach.
It's so exciting to be, you know, part of the finals again. And, you know, I think this whole season has kind of led to this. You know, a lot of individual stories, guys getting better, guys getting healthy. You know, here we are. We have a chance. We got two cracks at getting one win. But we also know how difficult it's going to be. So nobody's celebrating, but we're excited to be in this spot, and we want to take advantage of it.
I mean, that's the way to look at it, but if you're the Warriors, I still, when I watch the games, I still think Boston's a better team. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. You know, we had Nada on last week, and we were talking about Boston playing with their food, right? Mm-hmm. In a way, that is what it feels like Boston is doing. It just feels like they can step on the gas. But sometimes you step on the gas and the car doesn't respond. Or it's out of control. I'm not sure Boston isn't there. But here's the thing. You could think, oh, well, Boston's going to have so many more chances. Yeah, you don't know that.
Yeah.
You don't know that. You better grab it while you can. I mean, Milwaukee's going to have Chris Middleton back. You know, Miami's still great. And Boston could have easily lost that series. Philly's going to be better. Who knows? Maybe James Harden has a little bit of a renaissance. They've got Joel Embiid. You know, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and others are still in Brooklyn. It's not going to get easier. It just isn't. I don't know if you saw this. I think you did, Dennis, yesterday. So there's a foul. Jason Tatum has the ball, and they go to timeout.
Yeah.
And Draymond Green's trying to get the ball from Jason Tatum, and Tatum's just walking away with the ball. And it almost looked like something was going to happen, but obviously it didn't. Here's Tatum and why he didn't give the ball up.
You know, in the NBA, after timeouts, guys try to get shots up. They didn't want me to shoot the ball. So I said, it. I just took the ball with me to the timeout, and I kept the ball the whole time. They ain't say nothing. They just ain't want me to shoot the ball.
That's outstanding.
Love it.
I don't see anybody getting shots up during timeouts, but it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter.
Wait, I think he's referring to just like when there's a dead ball or they blow a whistle because of a foul or something like that. Guy just takes a jump shot. I think it's probably what we're referring
to. That was
just,
it was fantastic. All right. I want to get this in because who knows if we're going to have time for any of the golf stuff. But you're going to have to explain the weatherman dissing on the Cowboys, Dennis.
Oh, yes.
You have to explain this to me.
So this actually comes from a local news station in Mississippi.
Okay.
Weatherman giving his weather report. And, well, let's just say he was talking about temperature, and this is what he had to say.
Now we look at our 10-day forecast. It's looking a little bit like those Dallas Cowboys is peaking in the 90s.
Wow.
Yep.
Good for them.
It's fun.
Good for them.
Take shots where you can, I guess, right?
I love it.
It's petty, it's dumb, but it's funny.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, just down in Mississippi somewhere.
Fantastic. All right, good for them. All right, we have time. We have time for Rory. This is actually let's do Phil from yesterday. He was asked why the LIV tour. Actually, I think Phil tells the truth and then stretches it out a little too far. But here's Phil.
I think that there's a there's an obvious incredible financial commitment, but more than that, for all the players involved and everyone involved. But more than that, there are other factors that. With fewer tournaments, it allows me to have more balance in my life. It allows me to do things that are off the golf course I've always wanted to do. And I find that as I prioritize those that are important to me, people that are important to me going forward, this allows me to have more time with them, be more present, and to share more life experiences outside of golf.
All right. He said the first part is absolutely true. A huge amount of money involved.
Mm-hmm.
They gave Phil Mickelson $200 just to show. Right? He didn't play well, but he still made close to $200,000 for not playing well. I get it. I'm not kidding. How many times have you heard me say, it's a shame the Saudis aren't interested in sports radio.
Yeah.
Right? Like, everybody's going to make a decision, depending on your financial situation, you might make some very questionable moral decisions, depending on the outcome. Right? But here's what I don't get. Fewer tournaments. Right. Okay, that's fair. And we were talking to Trey Wingo about this when he said, well, why does the PGA Tour care if these guys play the other tour as long as they play theirs? Well, I mean, I do think that it should be flipped around. If Phil's playing there for guaranteed money,
yeah,
right, and he wants to play fewer tournaments, Well, then why does he need the PGA Tour? And they all need the PGA Tour for one reason. And it's to qualify for the tournaments that they want. Now, Phil doesn't need it for that. Phil's going to be exempt into every major that he's going to want to play in for the rest of his life. Dustin Johnson, also likely for the same as a two-time champion, one U.S. Open, one Masters. You know, the Open Championship exemption will run out. PGA Championship exemption will run out. But for the most part, you know, he's going to get into most of the majors. The other guys, maybe not. But if you want to play in fewer tournaments, well, then you're not going to want to play both. These guys are all under contract. They have to play LIV.
Yeah.
There are eight events. There's going to be 14. So Phil rarely, if ever, plays even 20 tournaments now. Mm-hmm. So you're probably not playing both.
Especially for him. He can pick and choose the big ones. And
he's going to play four majors and the and LIV. And that's fine for Phil if that's what he wants to do. And again, it's hard not to talk about it in terms of where the money's coming from. But I don't blame the PGA Tour for the stance they're taking. I don't know if it's going to work, but I don't blame them for saying, you know what, us or them, and that's fair. Either way, that's the decision you make. All right, when we come back, John Breach, CBSSports.com, Panthers, Baker Mayfield, huh? Next. John Breach, one of the super friends on the Pick Six podcast, frequent guest on this program, a four-time turtle owner. We'll get to the bottom of that. CBSSports.com, also a zero-time horse owner. Why would you put zero-time horse owner?
Well, you know, people see the turtle thing and they automatically assume that you love turtles. But you know what? Turtles are easy to take care of. They're very easy pets to own. Opposite are horses. Impossible pets to own, expensive. Just trying to fit the whole paradigm there.
Dude, my wife owns four horses.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Come hang sometime. Get some horseback riding lessons there.
Saddle up there, John. All right. So I read this today from your colleague, our friend Jonathan Jones at CBS, that the Panthers are still pursuing a trade with Baker Mayfield. And I really have just one question. Why?
That is a fantastic question. It really feels like, just kind of reading between the lines with everything that's happened this offseason, is that the Panthers are extremely low on Sam Darnold and they would like to replace him. They realize there are not a lot of options at this point. And the thing about Baker Mayfield is I don't even think he's a huge upgrade over Sam Darnold. I do think he is a better quarterback, but Darnold's already got a year in the system. Baker Mayfield would be starting from scratch. And so it feels like the Panthers' thought process here is, hey, look, if we can get Baker for practically free, let's do it. Because it seems the hang up in this negotiation is who's going to pay Baker Mayfield $18.9 million salary. You know, if the Browns come and say, hey, we'll pay $16 million, then the Panthers are thinking, all right, we get Baker Mayfield for just under $3 million. Let's do it. So I think if they can get him at a low cost, that it does make sense. Like, why not just bring another quarterback in and let the best man win the competition?
Yeah, if they can get him for nothing, you would think that the Browns would jump at that just to get Baker Mayfield out of town, but they're obviously balking at that. See, to me, the move for the Panthers would have been to try to make this trade before the draft and see if you can get the Browns to do what they did to the Texans when they accepted Brock Osweiler, which is sweeten the deal with a draft pick. Why wouldn't the Panthers have tried to do it that way?
I mean, the Panthers, the negotiation seemed close at the time of the draft, and obviously, for whatever reason, things blew up, and I think it was because of the money thing. And really, I think the Browns are slow playing this. I think they're trying to keep negotiations alive. But I don't think we're going to see them do anything until they get some clarity on the Deshaun Watson situation. Not that I think Mayfield is going to play for the Browns in 2022, but maybe another team calls up, or maybe the Browns are, if Watson's only suspended four games, maybe the Browns are, say, just, hey, we need to get rid of Baker Mayfield right now. We don't want him here. But if Mayfield suspended the entire season, you have Baker there as insurance until you have that next quarterback you know is going to be your starter in 2022. So it's just a precarious situation that we've never really seen. And so it just kind of feels like the Browns are slow playing this, so they know what's going on with Watson.
John Breach, CBSSports.com, is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. How many games, or will Deshaun Watson play for the Browns in 22?
I think if you gave me an over-under of 8, I'm taking the under. It just feels like with every new allegation that comes out, that the NFL would be crazy just not to slam the door on his season. There's going to be so much blowback if this suspension is, say, 6 games or less. So I think at the minimum, it is going to be half the season. If it's the entire year, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, look, we've seen Ben Roethlisberger's name thrown out a few times with this Watson thing. Ben Roethlisberger didn't have any criminal charges against during his sexual assault allegations over a decade ago, but he still got suspended for 6 games, later got reduced to 4. That was just 2 allegations. We're talking about 24 allegations that could move up to 26, that could move up to 66. I mean, the number just keeps going up. And so at some point, the NFL just has to say, we got to keep this guy off the field until we know exactly what happened and how many people it happened with. So if I had to bet right now, I would say a year.
See, because here's my position on this. Like, what, 22? 22 wasn't nutty enough? Like, the 60? I don't know. I can't even fathom the difference between acting inappropriately with 22 or 24 or 25 or 26 and 66. I kind of think that 22 is a lot.
Exactly. And you know, if you're a Browns fan out here defending Deshaun Watson, even if you say, oh, half these women are lying, that's still 12 of them are telling the truth, and
right,
that's still a huge issue. So even if you are trying to question the credibility of a few of these women who have filed a lawsuit, there are 24 of them. Eventually, the numbers just kind of speak for themselves.
All right, so there was an article. I bothered Brinson with this yesterday, but I wanted to ask you as well. And you didn't write this, which was good, because I would have called you yesterday about it. The notion that the Jets could be this year's Bengals. I don't want to talk about the Jets because the Bengals went to the Super Bowl, right? So is there a breakthrough team that could maybe it is the Jets that could make the playoffs? And maybe my issue should be we shouldn't really be kind of comparing them to the Bengals because the Bengals with Joe Burrow made it to the Super Bowl, which is very different. But is there a breakthrough team with a young quarterback that stunk that's now going to be good?
Well, I mean, I think there are a couple options. I could see Jacksonville turning it around. As crazy as that sounds, they actually have a competent, sane coach in there who knows what he's doing. And, you know, anytime you get a Super Bowl winning coach in there, that feels like someone who can flip the script and turn things around right away. And you have Trevor Lawrence. I think the Jags offense could be a little scary, which sounds crazy to say. And they're in a division where there's no heavyweight. I mean, the Colts are good, the Titans are good, but they're not great. You know, this isn't the AFC West. It's a division where you could easily rack up 8 or 9 or 10 wins. I mean, the Colts got 9 wins with Carson Wentz. So I don't think there is any team that could do what the Bengals did last year. I don't think we're going to see a 4-win or 3-win team from last season make the Super Bowl this year. But if I had to come up with a team that could do it, I think Jacksonville would probably be at the top of the list. But the problem with that is that the AFC is just so loaded that it makes it hard to envision a team just breaking through. And so it feels like you have a better shot out of the NFC, but I'm not sure what team could put – I mean, the Giants, I don't know. It's just the teams that were bad last year don't have that Joe Burrow. I mean, the Bengals had the talent. It was just a matter of getting it together and their defense improved. Like, their offense was good even when they were bad. It just, their defense took a step up and Joe Burrow took it to the next level with Ja'Marr Chase.
John Breach is with us here on the Adam Gold Show. 5 first round quarterbacks last year. We could argue that Mac Jones was the best or the most successful. Regardless, he was asked to do the least at times, but of Lawrence, Wilson, Fields, Jones, and I know I'm forgetting, I'm overlooking another. Trey Lance can't do. He basically did nothing last year. Who takes the biggest step forward this year?
I think it's going to be Trevor Lawrence. Like I was saying with Jacksonville, I feel like that is the guy who the Jags were, the coaching staff was so incompetent last year, it was impossible for him to do anything good. It just seemed like he was lost. He didn't know who to trust. He clearly disagreed with a lot of things Urban Meyer was doing, you know, not keeping James Robinson on the field. So it seemed like it was tough for him to kind of concentrate on improvement, and that's all Doug Peterson's going to ask him to do. But I think Trey Lance is obviously the most interesting one because we have no idea what he's going to look like. I know he started two games last season, but he was dealing with that finger issue that made it tough for him to throw the ball during those two starts. And so if Kyle Shanahan, who has been fantastic with quarterbacks, if he believes in Trey Lance, he's willing to kick Jimmy Garoppolo to the curb, that has to make you think that Trey Lance at least has the potential to be a good quarterback. So I'd probably go Trevor and then Trey.
Yeah, I loved Trevor Lawrence after his freshman year. Sophomore and junior years, I mean, he was a great college quarterback. I just didn't see the what everybody else saw. And they talked about him being like the greatest prospect we've seen. I'm like, did you guys forget Andrew Luck already?
Well, just real quick, is that when you look at the rest of the class, though, your other options here are Zach Wilson. I thought Zach Wilson looked horrible last year. Mm-hmm. Justin Fields has no one to throw the ball to. I don't know how that Bears offense is going to do anything. And Mac Jones just seems like even Steven. I don't think he's going to be a great quarterback. I don't think he's going to be a bad quarterback. He's going to be the guy who does what the Patriots ask him to, but he's not going to be asked to carry an offense like someone like Trevor Lawrence it will probably be asked to do this season.
John Breach, CBSSports.com, one of the super friends in the Pick 6 podcast. I thank you very much. I know it was a busy day for you. Appreciate your time. We'll talk again.
Yep, sign me up for those horse lessons. Take it easy, Adam.
All right. Well, we'll compare turtles and horses. But, it's part of my everyday.
This is the Adam Gold Show.